Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta tell what I see. Gotta talk about my life as I see.
Welcome. You just tuned into the Hour Show.
-10.
And it is a biggie. It's your boy Journey Gray. I want you to settle in and experience some hip hop.
I'm tap dancing on the beat, Savion, Sammy Davis, man, cabbage packed in the Cadillac, smoking haze again. John Blazing, ghostwriting, striking lightning. Call me Thor, control the flow, I'm precise. When I'm writing, took the score of my life through the strife, found the Lord in the mic without a hype. Found freedom out, chasing the adrenaline, hoping I could spit again. One more song, open mics, I was killing them. Now you feel the power, the present is the gift and the time is the hour. Seducing seconds as they beckon for the second coming. I'm no messiah, but there's fire when I'm strumming. Vocal cords when I'm humming, lightning bullets in the hundreds. In Chicago in the summer, from some youngins in the Hummer. I'm BB King with Adidas on, I'm complex. I'm Stephen King when the beat is on in context. You can consider me a killer in this trilogy. Plates bring the realest on the show so you can feel it. We are a tribe leading new school scenarios. So listen close as we come you through your stereo.
This is Journey Braves, and you are now tuned in to the G Hour Show.
No doubt, you are now tuned into the D Hour Show, getting it in for the fit-ins. Absolutely, D Slade in the building, the wonderful, the lovely, the incredible Tuesday spot. The Tuesday spot is upon us on this lovely Tuesday night, December 18th, 2012. Yes, again, the Tuesday spot is here, and we will be going in tonight. Got a great show for you guys tonight. Tonight we got a special guest for the D Poetry spot tonight. We'll be talking with her a little later in the show. And we'll be hearing some incredible poetry from the beautiful, the incredible Miss Tasha Jones is going to be in the building with us. One of the many poets from the hit poetry show on TV One, Versus and Flow. Tasha Jones is going to be joining us tonight, spitting some incredible poetry, so definitely get ready for that. We're going to be playing some hits tonight. My other brothers are going to be in the building in a little bit, L-E-O-C-K. We're going to be getting in tonight. Oh, you already know the Tuesday spot, so you know how it goes down tonight. We got the D Poetry spot going down tonight. We got Stomp D Slate, the trivia questioning and answering a segment where they're going to try to stomp your boy D Slate with some questions. We're going to see if D Slate can hit them with the answer, get the correct answer, and see if we can go 3 for 3 or 4 for 4 tonight. As well as the incomparable, the Tuesday spot segment that we all know and love, Real Men Talking, is going to be going down tonight. So definitely make sure you get ready for that. Also, tonight I will also be playing another tribute. But, you know, this time tonight, you know, we all know about the tragic situation and a tragic story about what happened in Connecticut, in Newtown, Connecticut. And definitely, again, our hearts and our prayers go out to those families as they cope with such a tragedy and have to go on with their lives without mothers and daughters and young, beautiful children. Right now we all know that they're sitting around and talking to and being angels for the Almighty, but definitely prayers go out to the families, and prayer go out to all the families who's had to endure such tragedies within the last few years in our nation. And that's what the tribute is going to be for tonight, for the families that's dealt with such tragedies within the last few years. And we will be playing a tribute for them tonight. We got two wonderful songs to tribute to those families, and our prayers and hearts go out to you, absolutely. So we definitely got a really good show for you guys tonight. If you are a singer, if you are a hip-hop artist, if you are a poet, you like to be on our show, you like to be interviewed on the D-Hour Radio Network, all you have to do is email us at dhourshow@gmail.com. That's dhourshow@gmail.com. You can also catch up with us on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Just search the keywords D-Hour Show, and definitely we will get it in for you. As well as if you have a business or a website you would like to advertise on the D-Hour Radio Network, we have a special going on right now for the holidays. So definitely contact us and we can get the details to you about our special. $25 for the week to be advertised for a week. So jump on that special because it's going to be here for the holidays, and it's going to end a week or so after the New Year holiday. So definitely make sure you contact us, dhourshow@gmail.com, dhourshow at gmail.com. We got some wonderful shows coming up for you for the coming week for the D-Hour Show. Tomorrow, on Nod Your Head Wednesday, tomorrow, the premier hip-hop show on Nod Your Head Wednesday on the D-Hour Radio Network. Yours truly, D Slate, is going to be in the building filling in for my brother L1. Joining me will be the one and only RC, my girl RC, my boy Leo. We're going to be getting it in tomorrow. We have a special guest that's going to be in the building on Nod Your Head Wednesday. We got the one and only hip-hop star, Talib Kweli, is going to be joining us tomorrow on Nod Your Head Wednesday, so make sure you tune in. Also on Celebrity Thursday with yours truly, Miss Fabulous and CK, we will be getting it in with the old school R&B group, To The Extreme. Oh, yeah, we'll be getting it in with To The Extreme this Thursday, as well as we may have another special guest that's going to be in the building with us as well. So make sure you tune in. Keep tuning into the D-Hour Radio Network every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on the Orville Redenbacher Radio. We keep it popping all the time. All you got to do is bring the butter. You already know. All the time, getting it in for the fit-ins. Now, there's a lot of news going on in the media right now. We got a few things we're going to be discussing tonight. You know, when my brothers get in the building, we definitely have a few things we're going to be talking about and getting it in. A few topics I'm gonna throw their way. You know, one of them being how everybody thinks, for some reason, there's a lot of paranoid individuals out there who wants to believe that December 21st is doomsday. Again, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. We're going to touch on it, you know, a little bit about it tonight because it's coming soon. So, you know, I've heard about some ridiculousness going on, some crazy stuff going on about this whole doomsday situation. So, again, people, I implore you, if you haven't already, please read a Bible. Please, just read a Bible. Just take the time out to read it, and you'll see all the information that you need, especially some of the key passages about nobody knowing when doomsday is coming, nobody knowing when Armageddon's coming. Nobody knowing when Judgment Day is coming. Nobody knowing. So talking about, oh, this is the date. Giving us a date means that people know. So hopefully I brought a few hints for you to help you understand where I'm coming from. Nobody knowing when it's going to happen. So I'm going to throw that out there. Maybe you can understand what I'm saying when I mean nobody knowing. Okay, maybe you'll understand that. Now, if you will, I'm going to go ahead. You know, we got some Christmas music. You know, we're going to be playing throughout the show some celebrity artist Christmas music, as well as some indie artist Christmas music we're going to be throwing in there as well to help get you guys in the spirit of the holidays. The holidays is upon us, everybody. Christmas is coming next in a week today. Christmas will be here next Tuesday. Today will be Christmas. And, you know, I just want to say that it's going to be crazy right now for all those, you know, late shoppers getting out there over the, you know, now and over the weekend trying to get whatever you need. Just be careful out there. Be safe. Don't be out there pushing people and pushing kids over and all kinds of crazy stuff trying to get what you need for Christmas or for the holidays. I know this can be a really crazy time of the season. There's a lot of desperate individuals out there, you know, trying to make people happy for Christmas. Please, people, make the right decisions. Please be safe. Don't do anything that you're going to regret for the rest of your life. This holiday is a time for joy, a time for happiness, and a time for being with family. Joy, happiness, loving family. That's what it's all about. It's not about chaos and despair and depression. You know, we don't want anybody feeling like that. So, you know, we're going to be definitely playing some Christmas music to hopefully help you guys get into the spirit. And like I said, it's all about being safe, being careful, and just being with family and just enjoying it. I mean, as a parent, especially a lot of the parents out there, this is a really joyful time of the year because, you know, to sit there and watch your child open up a gift and you know, just see the expression on their face and the joy and the happiness on their face. I mean, that right there is one of the key moments. Those are one of those moments as a parent that you will never forget. Those are one of those moments as a parent that, you know, you'll know for the rest of your life. So, you know, let's make it a happy one. Let's definitely make it a happy one and be safe. Be safe and, like I said, make the right decisions, people. Don't make the wrong decisions in desperation just because you want to make some, you know, person or some child happy. Don't do anything you're going to regret. You know, you do anything you're going to regret, then you may not get an opportunity to see that child's happiness. So just, and remember, it's the thought that counts. It's the thought that counts. Don't go crazy with it. You know, whatever you're going to give, you know, and it's not about receiving, it's about giving. So I know some individuals out there is probably shaking their head like, you know, all the crazy individuals, the ignorant ones, is probably like, D-Slate, you live wrong, brother. It's all about the receiving. No, you know, there's nothing wrong with receiving. It's nothing wrong with, you know, receiving some gifts, you know, from friends, family, loved ones, you know, significant others. There's nothing wrong with that, you know, but it's the giving. It's the giving, with a capital G. It's the giving that gives you the most spirit, that gives you the most happiness. So that's what it's all about. So let's not get it twisted. You know, let's not be doing nothing crazy. But again, be happy, be safe. The Hour Show, Tuesday spot. Your boy D-Slate in the building. Hopefully my brothers will get in the building. You know, I know they're running late. I think they was at the drive-thru at Burger King, you know, trying to buy a Whopper and get one free. So brothers, you know, get your Whopper, get your free Whopper, and get on up in this piece so we can get it in, for the peoples tonight. Real Men Talking, Stomp D Slade, the D Poetry Spot, CK's Do's and Don'ts. Oh yeah, we're getting it in tonight. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. D Slade, let me see. I might have a little something right now to get you guys in the spirit to help uplift your Christmas joy. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, D. Slate, the Hour Show, Tuesday Spot. Here's a little Faith Evans with Oh Come All Ye Faithful right here on the Tuesday Spot. Hey, we'll be back.
Cry, 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 cry
Yeah, welcome back. D-Hour Show, Tuesday Spots. Getting it in for the fit-ins. D-Slate in the building. Playing the hits you already know. That was Boys to Men, Let It Snow, dedicated from D to Chris. Absolutely. Then you heard a little bit of Corey Clark, formerly of American Idol, with his hit single, Out of Control. And then we gave you some Faith Evans with her Christmas hit, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Getting it in for the fit-ins, playing the hits. Got more music coming throughout the show. Definitely got more hits for you. Getting it in tonight. We were talking about people out there doing crazy things, worried about the whole doomsday December 21st. Situation. It's like craziness going on out there, and it's not just in our country. It's going on around the world. For instance, China detains China police detains 500 plus people for doomsday rumors. Chinese police have detained more than 500 people from a fringe Christian group from spreading rumors about the world's impending end. State media reported today in western China's Qinghai province alone, police arrested more than 400 members of the religious cult group, state-run China Central Television said today. Police seized leaflets, video discs, books, and other apocalyptic materials in a recent arrest of more than 500 people across 8 provinces and regions from the prosperous East Coast to less developed Western China. The detentions come ahead of Friday, December 21st, a date some say the Mayans prophesied would be the end of the world, in which the subject of the apocalyptic movie 2012. Those detained are reported to be members of the group Almighty God, which is also called Eastern Lightning, after a phrase from the Bible's Book of Matthew, widely regarded as a heretical Christian sect. The group preaches that Jesus has reappeared as a woman in central China. It has been accused of targeting Christians, kidnapping and beating them to force conversations and conversions. Chinese society has been in turmoil as decades of rapid free market economic growth discredit communist ideology, loosen social control, and pull hundreds of millions from the countryside to the cities. In the spiritual void have rushed traditional Buddhist groups and deist practices, as well as evangelical Christian churches and other spiritual groups, some of the unorthodox and apocalyptic visions. Eastern Lightning first appeared around 20 years ago, and the official Zhanghao News Agency said that its members had recently latched on to the Mayan doomsday prophecy to predict that the sun will not shine and electricity will not work for 3 days beginning on December 21st. Wow. It's crazy, too, because, like I said before, there's people, not just in our country, but all around the world, who's thinking that this whole, you know, December 21st thing is going to go down. And I also heard, you know, a friend of mine also mentioned to me about him hearing about a possibility of us having a blackout for a couple of days, an electrical blackout, no power. I mean, what is this, the TV show Revolution? You know, so what, we're going to have a blackout and we're going to go back to medieval times? I mean, look, people, I get it. You know, some people want to hold on to things, and it's much easier to hold on to something and believe it than to not be holding on to something and not know what's going on. Look, again, pick up a Bible, read it. Not trying to push or force you to believe anything that it's saying, but you know, it clearly states that no, and this makes sense. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. Nobody knows when doomsday is coming. Okay? Nobody's going to have a date. That's like somebody having a date and knowing when they're going to die. Okay? It's just, it doesn't work out like that. And plus, why would you want to know that? Real talk, why would you want to know that? So you can walk around and be stressed or it could just be the opposite. You running around like without a care in the world, making rash, you know, decisions and not thinking straight, and you may end up putting other people in harm's way or get other people in trouble because you just don't care anymore. And then what happens, you do all that insane, crazy, you know, things like that, and then you find out that it's not going to happen. So, I mean, people, please think. Let's think. Think. There's no special date. You know, you don't need to buy gallons and gallons of water. And come on, people, really? Let's not get into all that. Now, and that's not it. I mean, like I said, it's just, it's other crazy stuff going on and other crazy things that people are out there doing and, you know, just assuming that, you know, that this whole doomsday thing is going to happen. But hopefully, you know, people are thinking straight and thinking smart. Jamie Foxx is in the news. Why Jamie Foxx changed his name. As the two X letters in his last name seem to confess, Jamie Foxx is in fact a stage name. The Oscar winner and star of Quentin Tarantino's latest film, Django Unchained, about a Southern slave in 1800s America who transforms into an assassin. Raised in Terrell, Texas by his mother's adopted parents, Jamie Foxx was not close with his birth parents. And the Texas town was racially segregated. Foxx was raised as a Baptist and was a choir leader at his local church as a teen. At that time, Foxx was playing gigs as a pianist. While the performance bug bit him in the teen years, he was then still going. In high school, he was a top student as well as an avid football player with dreams of playing for the Dallas Cowboys. In college, he studied classical music and competition and composition. And wasn't until he started doing comedy at the prompting of a former girlfriend that he considered changing his name. And the reason he did, it is sort of hilarious. He wanted to be mistaken for a woman. Wow. A little crazy there, brother. Jamie Foxx, for those that don't know, Jamie Foxx was born Eric Marlon Bishop. Eric Bishop. Jamie Foxx was born named Eric Bishop. He changed his name to Jamie Foxx. When Foxx started performing at open mic nights in 1989, female comedians were routinely called to the stage ahead of male comics, and Foxx didn't want it to wait that long, so he chose Jamie because of its gender ambiguity. Foxx was his way of paying tribute to one of his favorite performers, Red Foxx, whose moniker was also a stage name. Red Foxx, best known for his role in the 70s sitcom Sanford and Son. Red Foxx was born named John Elroy Sanford. So Red Foxx's real name was John Sanford, for those that didn't know. Apparently, that was the right call because 2 years later, Foxx was cast on a popular skit comedy show In Living Color, which eventually led to his own sitcom on the WB network and all of the other opportunities that ultimately got him an Oscar, as well as a starring role in Tarantino's film Django Unchained, which opens worldwide on Christmas Day. There you have it. Red Foxx, for those that don't know, real name is John Elroy Sanford, and Jamie Foxx's real name is Eric Marlon Bishop, for those that don't know. And ladies and gentlemen, B. Slade in the build. I got my boy L.E.O. in the house. L.E.O., what's good?
What's going on, Scott? What's going on? I'm sorry for the tardiness, man. I totally slipped up on time. I'm sitting there vacating from one apartment to the next. I got wrapped up
time,
man.
So you good, brother? I know you was out there trying to get your buy one get one free Whopper at Burger King. I forgot to get out there and get mine myself, but you know I'm gonna try to get me one. Probably tomorrow, so I might be a little late tomorrow.
Is that what they doing?
That's what's going down, L.E.O. That's what's going down.
Hold up. I might have to take a pit stop. Definitely.
That's what's going down, bro. That's what's going down. Yes.
Right. All right.
Hey,
so, I'll make that stop.
Now, did you hear what I was talking about with Jamie Foxx and Red Foxx?
You know what? I didn't. I literally just tuned in. I got the end of the Red Foxx.
Bro, check it. Okay. Jamie Foxx's real name is Eric Marlon Bishop. He changed his name when he started doing comedy. He changed his name because a lot of women comedians were always getting called first to perform, you know, and the guys were last. So he changed it to Jamie because, you know, it's a gender bending name, cause so you don't really know if it's a woman or man, you know. And then he used Foxx because of his favorite comedian, Red Foxx.
Oh, okay, that's crafty. I would never put that together.
Let me hit you with some other crazy news. Would you like to know what Red Foxx's real name is?
Bringing it down to me. Yeah, I would like to know that.
Okay, now, you remember what TV sitcom Red Foxx was a part of, right?
Right, Sanford and Son.
Red Fox's real name is John Elroy Sanford.
Okay, so let me make the assumption that TV sitcom was sort of based upon his life.
Could have been.
Okay.
Could have been.
Uh-huh.
His real name was John Elroy Sanford.
That's crazy.
Yeah. A lot of people probably didn't know that's not Jamie Foxx's real, but a lot of people know now. But yeah, his name is Eric Bishop.
All right. That's what's up. So what's been going on around the show for the past half hour?
Well, you know, bro, I'm just, you know, I was, you know, playing some Christmas music, getting people in the spirit. Oh, I let everybody know. I'm pretty sure you watched the popular poetry show on TV1, Versus the Flow.
You know what? Me and the TV, we're not too good of friends. Out of technical,
But have you heard about the TV show Versus the Flow?
I've heard about that.
Well, one of the poets from Versus the Flow was going to be on with us tonight for the Deep Poetry Spot, and her name is Tasha Jones.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to be on with us in about 10-15 minutes for the Deep Poetry Spot. And CK's a little late, but he's gonna be in with us in a second. You already know Real Men Talking is gonna be popping tonight.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully we can once CK get in, we can get a little Stomp D Slate going on tonight. And also Leo, you know, I told him we're gonna, you know, because I know I didn't get a chance to talk to you about the situation, and we didn't get a chance to chit chat about it. But tonight as well, I will be playing a tribute to all the families that's had to endure tragedies within the last couple of years.
Mm. That's a lot.
So I have a couple of tributes, and I guarantee you guys are gonna love the songs, man. I put some very good thought into the songs that we're gonna play for the tribute tonight. So I guarantee you and the listening public is really gonna like this.
Okay.
And I also let everybody know, bro, tomorrow on Nod Your Head Wednesday, me, you, and RC is getting it in with the one and only Talib Kweli.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that one.
Getting it in with the one and only Talib Kweli on Nod Your Head Wednesday.
Yeah, I just seen him perform, I'll say, like, maybe a month and a half ago. He was down at the college, and it was like an up-close and personal type feel. He came in and rocked the show. Real down to earth.
And that's what I like about him. He is a real down to earth brother. So I definitely can't wait till we get it in, you know, get a nice little chit chat in with him tomorrow. And, you know, I just like to know, and you know me, bro, I really just want to know where, you know, his viewpoint about music right now and hip hop right now and just, you know, a lot of different things I like to know. You know, he's a very intelligent brother, and it's really going to be good to hear, you know, his viewpoint about what's going on.
Right. Definitely, need some clarity.
I don't know, brother. I think the biggest question going on right now in America, man, in public, I think people are just angry, you know, about what happened, and people want action. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People want action, and they want some things to happen. And, you know, I know a lot of people are, you know, talking to their, you know, their states and state officials and government officials. And, you know, they're just kind of coming at them like, you need to do something now. And if you guys don't do something, we're going to do something.
Right.
You know, and in lieu of what's happened, I can't hate on people feeling that way. I can't even trip on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't. I mean, when you think about it, especially with the latest tragedy, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Right.
I can't imagine it, and I'm not really gonna imagine it. But it's at a point now where people are like, "Hey, you better do something." you know, and then it's like now people are trying to figure out, as well as the government and as well as our illustrious president, they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? How can we stop this? I mean, President Obama said it himself, I'm tired. This is the fourth time this has happened since I've been in the office. No, man, I'm getting tired of this. This is not going down no more.
Right. Right.
You know, he was like, it's not going down no more. I don't know, bro. What you think?
I'm just like, you know, these things he's having, it's like, what is the remedy? Like, what is the solution? I don't really think there is. You can't really supplement for that feel, that loss, but how to prevent it from happening again, that's tough, because this loophole is in the hot. It's guard where those get there's loopholes there as well. So to prevent this from happening, you're going to have to get rid of weapons, get rid of the existence of weapons, period. But then you got, you know, arsonists. You know, it's so much depth to this. I don't know if there can be a remedy to this, but it has to.
Well, you know, I mean, I agree, man. I mean, I know everybody's talking gun control. I mean, let's be real. Let's be real. How realistic is that, though? How realistic is controlling, is having serious gun control? I mean, how realistic is that? You know, guns have been going on since the old West days. You know,
when I was working at a hotel, there was a few fellas that was there that I was driving, and they was helping me to understand why four states doesn't drop gun law and allow people to have weapons. It was like a lot of this stuff happened because people know that other people are defenseless. And if people know that they're armed, like, I forget the state that they were from, but they were all scared to have guns, just period. And the crime rate is really low. So everybody has a gun. So it's a harder battle. It's not, you're not, you know, into a situation and you have control over everything. You don't. So if drop, well, maybe crime close down, but that's always iffy. So I don't know.
I mean, I agree, man. I just, you know, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, and I think too. I just, you know, one of my solutions is, I had two. You know, I think that, and I don't know how realistic these things can be as well, but I mean, I think that maybe mental ill patients or mental ill individuals, maybe they need to be registered.
Right.
Maybe they need to be registered, so people in, you know, in neighborhoods and wherever they're living, that people know what they're dealing with, as well as, you know, they're talking about, you know, the police doing, you know, getting out there and doing extra patrol. Look, the police have enough work to do, you know, trying to stop crime.
Right.
You know, they have enough work to do. I think maybe the government needs to, and you can look into, you know, ex-military cats or retired military cats that's in their 30s and 40s, but maybe the government needs to create a nationwide security force.
Right. Yeah,
maybe they need to create a nationwide security force, military trained, get them in schools, get those security force officers in schools, malls, movie theaters, you know, places like that, to try to help numb down situations like this, as well as even like when in the whole school situation, because a lot of these tragedies have happened in schools. So maybe they need to beef up the security on all the schools across America.
Yeah, and just not just some, because I know some schools out here in Philadelphia, you know, all the kids have to go through metal detectors and be searched and everything like that before they get into school. But my sense, that should be standard now. You know, being in this day and age and the amount of stuff that's going on, even way back to Columbine, that should never even happen. If everything had standard security, maybe some of this stuff would filter out because guys should never been able to get into that school. He's just, you know, he's not able. You know, nothing. He shouldn't have been able to get into that school, period.
That's real. But, you know, like I said, we'll, you know, we'll touch on it definitely a little later. And it's a few more things we'll be discussing a little later on the show. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, in the building is our brother CK. CK, what's good?
What's going on, D-Slay? What's going on, Elio?
What's up, man?
How y'all doing? I'm sorry for coming in late. I was at a prayer vigil for a young lady who's been missing for over a year.
Oh,
my name is
Phoenix
Coleman. And
okay.
It was very, very, very touching. I'm on location, so I'm going to, once we get back, I'll sit down and talk about it, but I will be ready for the segment tonight, so and get in with y'all and talk.
Oh, it's popping, CK. I was letting everybody know, too. It's okay, bro. I told everybody, too, how afterwards you and Elio was in the driveway, drive through a Burger King trying to get them buy one, get one free Whopper. It's cool, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to get me one myself, you know, but.
I was trying my best, you know, and there was this one dude, he kept ordering. And I'm like, what the hell, you know?
He was like, I'm buying them, so you might as well give me a bunch of free ones. He probably didn't understand the whole concept. But it's cool, though, you know, it's cool, you know. As long as he got his burgers, you know, he cool. You know, I also got everybody, you know, we got the Deep Poetry spot popping off tonight, bro. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, but I'm going to give her a call. But I know you're familiar with the TV show Versus and Flow.
Yes, I do.
And we will be having one of the poets from this new hit TV show Versus and Flow, by the name of Miss Tasha Jones, is going to be joining us in a few minutes.
Oh, wow. I look forward to this.
Yeah, so, you know, she's going to be joining us, and she's going to spit some flame that we like to call poetry on the Deep Poetry Spot tonight, and we're going to be talking with her for a little bit. And then I already told everybody it's jumping off. The real men going to be talking tonight.
That's what
I said. The brother's going to be trying to stomp B Slate tonight, you know. You know, and as well as CK, I told Elio and I told the listening public that we have a tribute, not just for the families in Connecticut, but all the families that lost loved ones and the tragedies that's happened in the last few years. We're going to do a tribute for them tonight. And I guarantee, bro, the two songs that I have, I think you guys are going to like it.
That's what's up. I look forward to it.
So we're getting it in tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The brothers are in the building, the brothers of the D Hour Show. We're going to get it in tonight. Right now, I'm going to throw on a quick hit for you guys. And again, it's popping. You already know. And when we come back, the Deep Poetry Spot is going to be popping with the lovely Miss Tasha Jones. And you already know, people, D Hour Show. D Slay, Elio, CK, the brothers are in the building. Don't go nowhere. Don't go nowhere. Trust me, it's going down tonight. Right now, I got some more Christmas music to get you in the spirit, to bring your spirits up. Ladies and gentlemen, indie artists, and we've had him on the show. We play his music all the time. Mr. Carlos Bud Ford with his rendition of the Christmas song right here on the Tuesday Spot. Don't go nowhere. We got poetry when we come back. You already know.
Bring it.
Roasting on an open fire. frozen nippiness in your nose. You'll turn carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Holidays. That's Mr. Carlos Bud Ford with his rendition of the Christmas song right here on the D-Port, the D-Hour Show. The Tuesday spot, getting it in. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. D-Slate, Leo, CK in the building. So you already know what's going down tonight. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to introduce our wonderful segment that we'd like to get in on the lovely Tuesday spot, which is the Deep Poetry Spot. And our special guest tonight, you're in for a treat, absolutely. If you are familiar with the new hit Poetry Show Verses and Flow, this prospect guest, it's the D Poetry Spot. Ready?
This is the D Poetry Spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Take things down the tongue and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the D Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the D Poetry Spot right now on the Tuesday Spot on the D Hour Show. The Tasha Jones, the youngest Indiana Poet Laureate nominee, is a mother, poet, activist, and artist, a prolific writer. Tasha Jones soothes the soul and heals the body with words that cleverly infuse everyday life experiences with scripture to create works that empower. The artist Fever Jones exemplifies in performances is matched by her commitment to education, service, and responsibility to the youth. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm D Poetry Spot welcome on the Tuesday Spot to the lovely Miss Tasha Jones.
Wow.
Well, hello, Tasha. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you for that wonderful introduction. That's amazing. Hello, 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 people.
Well, you deserve it. Absolutely, you deserve it. I've heard your work. I've seen your work. I think you're a phenomenal poet, and it's an absolute blessing to have you on the show with us tonight.
Wow, well, thank you so very much.
I know, I'm a bit of a poet myself, but I know my co-host, Leo, and my brother, CK, they're poets, and I know that they're going to enjoy this, and I know they definitely got some really good questions for you before we get it started. My question for you is, tell us a little bit about your involvement with the new hit TV series, Verses and Flow.
Wow, yes. You know, well, Verses and Flow is actually going into its third season, and I was honored and blessed to be picked for the second season. And I was one of the poets that they picked. I think 30 poets last season. I was one of the 30 poets that they picked last season. And in that, the blessing, not only the blessing of being actually selected to be on a television show that continues to get picked up, that's poetry, which is amazing. The second thing about this whole thing is that it just got nominated for an NAACP award, which is amazing itself, right? So the second season of Verse and Flow just got nominated for an NAACP award. So how about it? Yes.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. Definitely yeah. to be nominated for such an award, that's absolutely amazing.
Absolutely. I'm honored. Like I said before, it was a blessing to be a part of the show, and even more of a blessing to be nominated and recognized for what you do. And so that's within itself is amazing. The beautiful thing I love about Verses and Flow is that it is taking poets from across the country and sharing their gift to the masses, which is the national television audience. And so you have to be able to support something that is doing that for your genre.
Absolutely. Well, I know my, my brother C, Leo is in the building. Leo, you have any questions for Tasha Jones?
Oh, yes. How you doing, Miss Jones?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. All right, first question. Now, being as though that it hit the TV status and what you do, where do you want to go with your craft and your artistry?
You know, I've always wanted to marry what I do to unlikely things, you know, and that may be just me, how I live my life in general, but I've always wanted to put my genre and what I do with things that normally people would say, huh, she's doing poetry? And so that means there are no limitations on what I want to do. So let me say this first and foremost. I would love to see my genre perform at places like the Oscars or the Grammys, being that poetry is one of the only areas or genres under Grammys that has always been consistent. The spoken word category has always been consistent, and yet and still we've never seen any spoken word representation as a part of the Grammys. And not spoken word as you see it, you know, or as we know it, but spoken word, period. You know what I'm saying? So that is something that I've always wanted to do. I also want to be able to use this gift to actually improve reading and writing in the United States of America. I think poetry is one of the, and not just I think, statistically it has been proven, poetry is one of the ways to increase the reading and writing levels of any student who is not up to par, and yet it's used so very little. And so I created a project called the Write Me Project, where it emphasizes children who has been a part of the incarceration system, and most of the kids who are in the incarceration system are in there because they are not great readers. And my idea was to say, not only to those persons who are there, but to the world, that if we change what the issue is, then rehabilitation will actually work. You know what I'm saying? It's not just say, we're going to put you behind bars and get you rehabilitated because you don't want to be behind bars anymore. No, that's not really how it works. We're going to put you behind bars, and we're going to help you understand that there's more than life out there than what you have been doing. So let's put a book in front of you, because that is where your, you know, your distraction is, or that's where you are not being the best to you. And we're teaching children actually how to read. And what has happened in the last 7 years that I've been doing the project, 80% of the kids who have gone through the program, who actually become better readers, has not gone back to prison or not gone back to juvenile.
Oh, wow.
And I really want that program to go to a whole nother level. And sometimes in today's society and in today's world, that if you're not famous or if you don't have the actual support of people who are with fame, then, you know, your program sometimes seems to stifle, or you don't get the support that you really want to get. And so I really want to take that and make it, take it to the highest possible level, I guess, and help as many children as I possibly can with the program. We've already taken, in the last 2 years, we've taken kids who have been incarcerated, who have increased their reading and writing levels, and taken them to New York, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C., and it has just changed their whole lives. It's just really changed their lives, and so that's really first and foremost what I really, really want to do. But, you know, sometimes you just need that celebrity status in order to get the money that you want and or get the people support you. Yeah, getting the people that support you. So that's my goal and that's my dream.
Definitely. I have one more question for you. Now, I've been doing poetry for some time now, and I've even taken university classes and just studied it and come to find out, like, you know, this is a genre that's well respected and well known. So, you know, you can have your phases of hip hop, phases of R&B, where people say, oh, it's just lost, it's just going away. But poetry, like you said, it stayed consistent. What do you think it's going to take for poetry as a genre to hit that mainstream? what's that extra push that it needs or already has? What's the process going to be for that to happen?
You know what? Poetry has always has been in the mainstream, and probably will continue to be in the mainstream more than what we know. If we look at history, artists like Walt Whitman made writing famous. You know, Langston Hughes made writing famous. You know what I'm saying? And they were poets. And not in our generation, but people that we can really have tangible people. We can say the last poets made poets, or Gil Scott-Heron made poetry famous. You know what I'm saying? And people all across the world wanted to be a part of and know what's going on in this poetry movement. We can say the same thing about Maya Angelou, Nikki Giovanni, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. The issue with what's happening with poetry and or spoken word today, and I make that distinction because the literary poets don't think that spoken word poets are poets, you know what I'm saying? And spoken word poets don't actually think literary poetry is poetry. So what is happening is this baby, this spoken word movement, this artistry movement, is actually not being identified as what it is. It's lost. It's lost its direction or its way in regards to who it is and what it wants to do. And so, therefore, you would have spoken word artists undermining the whole process of what poetry is. And so they will begin, the spoken word artists would do things that will you know, put a distaste in the mouth of Amari Evans or Etheridge Knight or the poets, or Rita Dove or Pearl Clegg in regards to that matter. These poets that are now, who are, poet laureates and anything of that matter, they're putting distaste in the mouths by accepting things that the whole genre itself is not good for the whole genre. And so what has to happen, in my opinion, and this has happened not only with poetry, but it's happened with comedians, it's happened with actors, it's happened with actresses and singers, but the issue now is that we as poets, spoken word artists, all of us together, has to be on the same page and for the movement of one thing, and that's the genre itself. So say, for instance, if there is a poet being mistreated in Oakland, California, and the poet in Oakland calls all the spoken word artists all across America and say, yo, don't work with this promoter because he is not supporting poetry itself, then all of the poets need to boycott that promoter. Right? But that's not happening, because if somebody says, you know what, you owe me $500, I'm a poet, I'm not going to let you just pay me $150, and boom, that's how it is, and I'm going to call all the poets across the United States of America, and you're not going to get away with paying somebody $150. Well, what's happening is, if the poet who's supposed to be paid $500 and somebody else need that $150, they're going to come and do the show anyway for that $150, and it doesn't even matter because you have been replaced. But that's not happening with the comedians. But that's not happening with the singers. If the comedians call across the country and be like, yo, don't go to this spot in Oakland, or don't go to this spot in L.A., or don't go to this spot in Indiana, then all of the comedians would be like, no, we're not coming there. You know what I'm saying? You owe my man $500. You got to pay my man up. And then when I get there, I want my money before I get on the stage. That's not happening with the poets. And so if you turning down $500, somebody else is going to come in and get the $450, or somebody else is about to come in and get the $150, regardless of how the promoter treats the poets. And that's the issue. We cannot let people mistreat us on the whole forefront, and we won't be able to sustain as a genre. When I say sustain as a genre, I'm saying sustain like where not only does the artist itself eat, but the artist can afford to pay, you know, an engineer, a stylist, or whoever else, you know what I'm saying, a videographer, a graphic artist, where we can put people on payrolls, then we have issues. And so until the poetry genre understands its value to the world and what it brings to the table, then we're going to be in this settling mode. And if we continue to settle, we're going to continue to be disrespected.
I can feel that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. CK, you have any questions for Tasha Jones?
Yes, I do. Tasha, thank you for coming on. I'm truly honored to have you on here.
Well, thank you guys for inviting me. I really feel honored to be a part of what you got going on.
No problem. My first question is, as a poet, what do you feel like are some of the strengths and some of the weaknesses that beginning poets actually go through before they can get to be where they want to be in their career?
It's funny that you asked me that. I just had this conversation with another distinguished poet earlier today, D. Noble. He's a professor at the University of North Carolina A&T. He's actually teaching a poetry/hip-hop class. And we just had this conversation. What's happening with these youngins, in my opinion, is that in every other genre in the world, the newcomers learn everything there is to possibly learn about the genre. You know what I'm saying? Except for hip-hop and poetry. I don't know why that is. I don't understand why it is. You know what I'm saying? So if you talk to a person who plays the guitar and wants to be in a rock band, they know every guitarist that played before them that was good. It doesn't matter if it was 1902, 1922, 1942, 1962, 1982, 2002. They know all of the guitarists who was ever good. They tell you all of the dopest bands who got all of the dopest riffs. It happens in rock and roll. It happens in jazz. It happens in singing. You know, the artists study the genre. When you get to hip-hop, when you get poetry, these young cats think they should be on TV and don't even know who the people are who came before them who blazed the trail. They don't know how many people was, like me, Langston Hughes was a bus boy, you know. Oh, I was about to say the N-word. Langston Hughes was a bus boy. You got poets who don't even want to work a job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's bananas. It is bananas. It is bananas. It is bananas. When you feel like, you know, I'm just going to write, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm trying to quit my job and be on TV, and I'm going to go all across the world writing. And you don't even experience half the stuff that you write about. You don't know anybody who came before you. You can't tell one person what book you've read or anything like that. That's insulting. That's very insulting. If you were going on a job interview for the Marriott, one of the first questions that the interviewee is going to ask you, tell me what you know about the Marriott. You know? What in the world makes you feel like you can just jump in and say, I'm good, so I deserve to be here?
Right.
No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And I got a poem for that. No, it goes just like this. They say all good things come to an end. So let me finish at the start line to end rhymes where good things begin. We're not going for that. You know, it takes, you have to be great to be here. And in order to be great, we're not going for what's good. You got to learn your history, youngin.
That's real.
That's real.
That's real.
And I think personally a lot of you have to know the past in order to have your present to become something of your future. And that's where a lot of these upcoming poets lack, because they don't take the time to learn the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the issue to me is that people really just want to become famous, and that's the world that we live in. You can be famous right now for being nothing, for doing nothing, you know. You famous all of a sudden, and you have no talent whatsoever. What's your talent? Oh, you famous, though. You know, you got people like You know, I mean, I'm not dissing anybody. I'm just saying the actual truth. When you got people like Kim Kardashian wanting to be on a Hollywood Walk of Fame, and you're, what's your talent?
Right.
You know, when I say
you're smart as a business person, you are smart. There's plenty of people who have done things that was questionable and unquestionable in their past to get where they have gotten. You know, there are plenty of bankers who have broke the law to be great bankers. You know what I'm saying? But they don't get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You got to be an actor, a musician, you know? So now, kudos to the people who actually select people for the Hollywood Walk of Fame and say, look here, no, we're not going to put you down here because you got a reality TV show and you slept with a person. It's not how it's going to work. You got to get some movies underneath your belt. And maybe.
Well, you know, she's a glorified socialite, but I know that I think that's what her issue is right now. She's really trying to find her niche in this whole entertainment mm-hmm. industry, and I think she's just having a hard time with that right now.
Right.
And like I said before, that's her hustle, and I'm not, you know, downing her hustle, you know what I'm saying? But in order to want what people have worked hard for and have
exactly.
gone to school and study for, then there's a problem with that.
They're going to have a problem with that because they're going to be like, what exactly has she done to get on there when we had to do all that? We had to put in all this work.
Absolutely. And you see that they didn't allow that to happen. We don't care how famous you are, how many people you got following you on Twitter. No.
Right.
It's not going to work. We're going to need you to get into some movies, study, learn the craft,
get in some real motion picture movies. Not the
That's
kind of movie she was filming before.
Touche.
I just want to say, like I said, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you were saying as far as what the young poets need to do. And I think what you stated, as well as CK, what you guys stated was, and I think that really goes into the whole industry as a whole, you know, as well as some of these new music artists, you know, they don't know anything about the past and don't really want to learn a whole lot about the past to become successful artists. And that's what a lot of our 1980s and 90s artists, that's what they did, and that's why they're so successful, and that's why they're so popular and so famous. Because they put in the work and they put in the education to learn about who came before them. But I absolutely agree. I think that they definitely need to do that in order to become successful and to mean something and to have their craft, you know, actually mean something and have some type of substance. So I absolutely agree with you. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the Tuesday spot. The D Poetry Spot, we have the lovely Miss Tasha Jones. And without further ado, I know I'm waiting. CK and Leo is waiting as well. We would definitely love to hear two wonderful poetry pieces by Miss Tasha Jones.
Oh, thank you. All right, do you have any requests or you just want me to do what I want to do?
We just want you to hit us with it.
Do your thing.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
Do your thing.
He said, do your thing. Hit us
okay,
with it.
Okay, no issues. Oh, no issues. Okay, here we go. All right. I got this song that I really, really love. And because I have an opportunity to do it live, I'm going to do it live. Here it is. It's real simple. It goes like this. I'm your ace, boom, coon. Your one and only true first love, dope, cause my heart be in you. I'm your sun and your moon, your land and ocean, your harmony in tune, your writer and your muse, your homie, lover, friend, your queen, sister, and kin, your secret untold, smell kept because I hold. I protect your inner eye. Orisha, baby, I fly, I skymount you. Write letters in the dirt, use symbols when I have to. Your tears when you hurt, your sweat when you work. Your favorite pair of shoes, your final call, your good news, your funk and your blues. Your soul food, cause my soul be tied to you. I'm an angel in bed.
but I'm a whore in the kitchen. Better than the colonel, baby, because I'm finger-licking. Sickening. The way we be in love, he say I'm his airway. I get oxygen to his blood, his lungs, his gang, they hugs and kisses, his proper speaking. Get that business, missus. Nothing like a ghetto chicken, but I can get down if he wants her around. I'm his ruby. Not worn like jewelry, but precious, like Miss Davis in the movies. I capture his ingenuity and film it for TV, his reality, his stage and his screen, his big dreams, his Mary Magdalene, his Christ to the Nazarene, his matriarch, his Obama in Grant Park, his legacy. I make history to his family tree. I make history in his family tree. There could be no him if it were no me. I'm his Coretta to the king, his Harriet to the free, his will of fortune, baby, I turn vows for he. His ribbon in the sky, his Wonder Woman, right? His harp and his doves, his land of milk and honey, his starter and his scrubs, his ace of spade, his diamonds and his clubs. But I'm looking for his heart. We've been down since the start. And he say we all exist, but we cannot coexist, because he'll turn on you like an American pit, man's best friend, his woman versus his bitch. Now she never gets hit, just patted, fed, and kissed, walked, ran, maybe fixed, and I wish Peter was more about them human benefits than them backhands and fists, wouldn't make me feel ribless when I should be kissed like I was his saint, but she his Saint Bernard, cock blocking in my yard. I wear the ring, but I'm in a ring with a boxer, y'all. Should be living my life like it's golden, but I can't retrieve her. Can't compete with a Doberman because I ain't a pincher. And he's holding the leash, the woman versus the beast. The woman gets beat, but the bitch makes him complete. He walks her, rubs her belly, feeds her on a daily, takes her out on dates, brushes her coat and waits, very patient with her, won't let her get upset or feel vexed, but I be in great pain, and she be his Great Dane, man's best friend, wife, second-class citizen. It's me again, but no one hears my tweet. I'm on the sideline screaming, and they playing in the street. He throwing her balls, she turning tricks. I'm the woman, and she the bitch. I'm running for my life, but they can jail Mike Vick. We fighting pots and pans, hands and fists. He bleeding from my lips. And ain't nobody reported these eyes, arm, and hip replacements. I'm spotted like a Dalmatian, but I ain't on no fire truck. Wish he was a man. Maybe I should be a pup. When we were kings, we reigned supreme for 5,000 years plus. I was the never his chick. But if I were a flea, we would tick. He would scratch my itch. We would be lovers. His paw to my lips, but she colored like a collard green, like holly mustard and turnips. And he turns up the beatings once he start drinking like volume, with no regard to human value, preeminence in dogs. Maybe people should be in kennels and change positions. Then Westminster can judge women as a group, show off our pedigree, our loyalty to our roots. Owners would hoot and howl, snap pictures, wave and smile, and women would be so worthy of all the attention, not to mention the children. Would know what to expect and how to respect the womb. That's emphasis on the paw. That's death in the womb. Baby, you see how they try to fool you? They say man's best friend got four legs. When man, your woe is right beside you. And she only got two, like I do. Now, who is your best friend? Word. That's that poem. That's that poem, man's best friend. I wrote that.
I gotta give you that.
Wow. I wrote that poem. Let me give you a little background. I think poets have to be the gatekeepers. I wrote that poem because in America it seems as if we have more respect for animals than we do for humans. And,
goodness.
I think it's becoming more and more relevant, especially with what just happened in Connecticut, in Newtown, is that we as humans are being dehumanized. And, you know, people can go to jail for 2 years out of their life and miss their careers for fighting dogs or fighting chickens. But a man and or a woman who fight each other can get one day in jail or even no time at all, the same year that Michael Vick got arrested for dogfighting, of which no one ever caught him dogfighting himself, but there was dogfighting actually taking place on his property. He was arrested and had to spend two years in jail. But he also had a teammate that same year who raped and beat a person, and it never made the media, never made news. And
that's crazy.
Me as a woman who have experienced domestic violence, whether it's verbal, whether it's actual physical, there has to be some type of reasoning in the minds of we as humans to say that is wrong. And I don't know if we need a group like a PETA to stand in front of the houses of these people who are doing wrong to say you're going to pay for it or whatever it is, but we need it because there's far too many women who are being abused and men. And I'm not going to, you know, discredit far too many men. If you look at what's happening in the homosexual world, where people are fighting one another at very high rates, you know, the same sexes are fighting one another at very high rates because I don't know the reason why, but that needs to be addressed as well, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we're not just talking about heterosexual relationships, but we're also talking about homosexual relationships because we are talking about humans. And people are missing that point, that we are humans. And somebody has to stand up and fight for us. And I gladly pick up that mantle and say,
wow.
You know,
Now you, I'm glad you said that because I don't know how many times I've stated, and I'm not taking away from, you know, any life form at all, on this planet, but you're right. It's like we're giving animals more credit than we're giving human beings. And what happened with that? I mean, I almost feel like we're in the Twilight Zone.
It's bananas. It is bananas out here, and I don't know what's happening in our country, you know. I began writing a poem today about that. When you listen to the people in the outside world who are outside of the United States of America, they would say the chicken has come home to roost, you know, because this is what we have done on their land, what is happening
right
on our land, far too long. You know what I'm saying? I do not want to be distasteful or dishonorable to the people who have lost their lives, to these 20 children who have died. These six adults who are no longer here. But every day we have to realize that you're fighting a human cause. And if we don't get people to stand up and fight for that, then we have an issue. And it's not just the humans on our land, you know what I'm saying? It's also what we are doing abroad and what's happening in our foreign policy. We have to be able to understand it and actually tell that story in its fullness and not leave out the parts where we as Americans do this to people, then that's probably why our children are growing up saying, oh, this is what you do, I can do it too, you know? And so I don't know, man. I don't know what we have to do as a people, but I do know that what I can do as my part is to bring awareness, bring light, and not only bring awareness and light, but also bring a solution and say, here, you know, there's an alternative to this, and this is how we're going to get it taken care of.
I literally been
brought to earth, to tell you the truth, man. That's crazy. When you think of these things all the time, but just to hear it the way you put it just now, I know D. Slade and CK felt the same way, but I just literally been put to earth. So, but yeah, thank you for that one.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. You just, I felt like I was in a Twilight Zone, and it almost seemed like you opened the door for me, and I can actually see the real world. I definitely appreciate that, and your poetry piece was absolutely phenomenal. I usually like to state one particular part in the poet,
in the poem that was my favorite part. But, damn, you kept hitting me with so many parts, I couldn't even remember all of them. You kept hitting me with so many of them, I was like, okay, let me remember that. And then you hit me with another one, I was like, okay, let me remember that. But your poetry piece was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
And praise God, you know, I really praise God for this gifting and for the way that I think, you know. I'm a layered writer, you know, and I'm a layered human being too, you know. There are layers to me, you know what I'm saying? And the deeper it goes, the better it gets, I believe. And I do that with writing. And like I said before in your earlier question, what is it that you want? I want poetry to be connected with and joined with these unlikely things. And so my poetry seems to do that. It's a dual part, you know. You might have thought the poem was just a love poem and starting off, and then boom, it turns the corner and you're saying, oh, but this is so much deeper, you know what I'm saying? And because
right.
You marry those two things, and I think that's the way that I write, where you want to say, okay, let me think about it. And you know, it's so tripped out because I've had gangsters, pushers, and pimps. After performing, like I said, I go everywhere. There's no places that I do not do poetry. You know, just last night I was in Atlanta, and I performed at the Candy Factory. And one of the only poets who's been on that season, I think it's only been three this past season, which is Georgia Mae Abyss and myself, but one of the only poets who was invited back, you know. And so I was invited back for 2 weeks during their taping. And I've had people who normally don't listen to poetry, people who can't stand hearing poetry, say, ooh, I love your work. And I've had a couple of pimps say, I'm not going to hit my hoes no more. And I was thinking to myself, are you serious?
Wow.
2012, you still got hoes?
That's something else. You just hit me with a whirlwind with that one.
Yeah. Oh, my
wow.
Goodness. Are you for real? Are you for real? And,
wow.
You know, yeah, you know, and I've had people say that, you know, I'm not going to put my hand on my woman any longer. I'm not going to hit, you know, whatever they choose to call who they call. But I've had that happen to me, and it has been,
wow,
you know, eye-opening, jaw-dropping. And, you know, and I think that's the power of words. We have to realize what the power that we hold. We hold a great power. We hold a great power. You know, there's a book out right now to say the top job to have in 30 years, poet is number five. Poet is number five. So, you know, we got to get on it. We got to hold true to what we have, our gift that we have.
Right. That is true. Well, if you don't mind, we would definitely love you to bless us with one more piece before we close this out.
No problem. So, everybody, you can always check me out some more at IamTashaJones.com. I'll go to the YouTube, Facebook, all of it is the same, IamTashaJones. I am Tasha Jones. And if you'd like to purchase anything that you've heard, then definitely hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, anywhere. This next poem, I'm kind of perplexed. I don't know if I want to do a poem. Let me do this. I'm gonna do a little bit of both. How about that? I'm gonna do a little bit of both. The business person in me is telling me, oh, you gotta do this because, you know, bing. But the true, you know, who I am poetry say, look, you gotta do this, and this is what it is. So I'm gonna do this, a piece of this poem, just so I can help people understand that in order to go to the next level, good is not enough. You gotta be great. And not only that, but you gotta do the work. It's not about you know, saying dope lines or it's really about the experience of doing the work, you know, of going up the stairs and not taking the elevator. Because this ride is a faith walk within itself, and it's not about, you know, being famous. It's about how many lives you can change.
So this poem is called, I don't know if I have a title yet. It's a working title. Maybe a working title is Break the Mold. I started it earlier. I'm only going to do a piece of it, and I'm going to give you a piece of my favorite poem right now. All right, here it is. They say all good things come to an end. So let me finish at the start line to end rhymes before good things begin, before the egg, semen, and allow semen to jump in. See, not all swimmers get the wind, but all sharks are born swimming. So let me put this school of fishing into its proper place before it populates a mediocre bench. Got to teach these young fins how to work their way into the school of champions. See, tall tales have fostered in happiness pursuit on the premise of needing a few good men with a few good spins, or a few good lines, or a few good bars, but there's no density in chasing stars. You need melanin shine, a little darkness, a little pressure, a little ruin, a little stick-to-itiveness to grind. See, there are far too many lives depending on these backpacks filled with great rhymes, so why would one waste time on average men when the quest to win always exceeds limitations put forth by average men? So ask again, how can the impossible produce the unconquerable soul when the average Joe don't know how to proceed if life impedes on dreams and goals? So here we go, choosing the road less traveled baffles average toads. So breaking the mold to get the gold is life lessons on this hard knock road. This is talent versus skill, heart versus will, guns and butter, baby, die or be killed. Now, physical death is always easy when all you got to do is bleed. But killing a man's ability to start is in part why we got so many dead men breathing. That's a piece of that, Joan, right there. That's a piece of that.
Wow.
Wow.
This next little piece I'm going to get into real quick. I like people to know that I write. I don't just write free verse poems, that I can write haikus. I can write triolets, entus. You know, I'm a writer. You know what I'm saying? That's how I got nominated for Poet Laureate, because I tend to write poems within poems. You know what I'm saying? So that's typically real. In my free verse, there's haikus inside the free verse, or there's entus and triolets inside of the free verse, and academia loved that. You know, they was like, wow, how did you do that? And those poems can stand alone. So this poem is, this is Immune. It's a little short haiku, and then I'm going to go into this poem. It's, the haiku is, lived in manure so long, when the smell was gone, I did not know home. How cool. Lived in manure so long, when the smell was gone, I did not know home. 17 syllables. All right. Here's this poem. I'm sing a little bit. I ain't thinking about you no more. Can't keep running and out of my door. You letting the flies in. Say you letting the flies in. I ain't thinking about you no more. Can't keep running and out of my door. You letting the flies in. Say you letting the flies in. You must think I am your winter's lover. And now it's time for you to go, because summer's coming. And you think I'm going to be right here in the fall. Boy, you have lost it all. You must take me for a fool, or one of your chicken heads, or one of your dudes. Don't forget yourself, because I know the real you. So I'm asking, have you really thought this thing through? And is this how you're going to do the only person who has been there for you? Remember when you had absolutely nothing? Who was you trusting? Who was you loving? Who was there giving you back rubs and cooking you grub? Who was there showing you love when your parents could not express what you needed them to? Who was there to hold you and to say, I love you? Who watched you practice in the middle of the night? Who bought your books because your financial aid wasn't right? Look at me. Go ahead and leave if you think the grass is green on the other side, but I'm not the same girl I was back then. I'm not going to cry. I'm not the same person who needed you. Yeah, you showed me a different world back then, but see, baby, I have developed too. See, this ugly duckling has turned into a beautiful swan. So go ahead and leave, because that church boy, he's been waiting to mow my lawn and trim my hedges and water my flowers. See, the seeds have been germinating. He's just waiting on the showers. So go ahead, make it easy. Leave me. I ain't thinking about you no more. can keep running and out of my door. You letting the flies in. Say you letting the flies in. Yo, that's that. I sung that poem and did that poem because that was the actual first poem that actually got radio airplay without being signed to a major label or anything like that. So I picked up radio air distribution in 7 markets, and I'm extremely proud of that poem. And I love, you know, only what it did for me as a woman to say, if you are unhappy in a relationship, it's not the man's fault. You know, if you are unhappy, you leave.
Wow.
You're not going to blame on nobody else but yourself. If he is not pleasing you the way you want to be pleased, why are you staying? That's on you, Tasha. It's not him. So you can't be angry at him. He's only doing what you will allow him to do. You're angry and you're staying. So why don't you just pack up your bags and leave yourself, regardless of everything that you've done, regardless of, you know, what's happening. You're not happy. You walk away. And that poem did that for me. It freed me. It freed me from being, you know, angry at men, you know, of which I love. I love, you know, I'm not angry. I'm angry at myself as anything. If I choose to stay with you and I'm not happy, then something's wrong with me. So, it you know, writing helped me do that. And so that's what that poem is about.
Well, I want to say what your poetry has done for us tonight and how it has made us feel, I can't even put in words, but it has done this to us.
That's what's up. Thanks
no
for
doubt.
The love.
I just want to say, first and foremost, you are an absolute phenomenal poet, and we've had other phenomenal poets on the show that's just rocked our world, and you have definitely done that tonight. I know Georgia Mee did the same thing when we had her on the show, and I just got to say, I'm a huge fan of poetry. Of course, my brothers Elio and CK are poets themselves, so I know they can definitely relate to the love for poetry, but I love your philosophy, and I love the way you go at your writing, and I love the way you present the way you write, and just your intellect and your intelligence in your writing, and just your whole way of thinking in your writing is absolutely incredible. And I think that you're definitely a one of a kind poet, and your style is definitely flawless. And I just want to say
wow.
It's an absolute blessing, and it's definitely an honor to have you on the show with us tonight. And we definitely enjoyed your poetry, without a doubt. And I know that next year, we got a huge poetry showcase show that we're going to be broadcasting, and we definitely would love to bring you back for that show.
I would love it. Thank you. I'm so honored. By your words.
We're talking about bringing in George and me and yourself and some of the other incredible poets that we had on the show. But yeah, we definitely want you to come back. You're definitely amazing, and I know Leo and CK. I know my brothers feel the same way. And I got to say that as far as we're concerned, and the D-Hour Radio Network, you're no longer a guest here. You're definitely a family member now. You're always welcome here. Absolutely, you're always welcome here. And as far as we're concerned, we're going to keep on supporting everything that you do.
Right on. Yeah. I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so very much. And if you don't mind, may I tell the audience what's coming up next for me?
Absolutely. Let them know. Let them know what's going down with you.
Very good. I'm so glad and grateful that you mentioned my sister friend, Georgia Mee. Georgia Mee is my sister friend, and it is her baby. She has a show called, and a collective called Adam's Rib, and it's about 10 female poets that she has put together, and we travel, you know, across the United States and abroad, or whoever would want us to come touch their mic and bless their mic. But it's myself, along with Georgia Mee, Emerald Green, Teresa the Songbird, Israelite, Sunny Patterson, Ruckus, Scorpio Blues, And I am forgetting something. Queen Sheba, I believe. I hope I named everybody. Guys, if I missed anybody, blame it on my head and not my heart. But I put together this beautiful collective. And on December the 30th in Atlanta, Georgia, December the 30th in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Apache Cafe at 8 p.m. is Adam's Rib Sunday. So make sure y'all come out and check that out. And if you are in the Atlanta area, then I'm also filming. Also, a Georgia Me presents an affair. She's filming a television show that she's doing called Speakeasy, which is a group of poets, and you know, along with some other artists that she really likes to highlight. But definitely come check out that. It's going to be a free taping, a free show, so y'all can come check that out. She's doing that December the 28th and 29th. So it's going to be a full weekend of poetry. Make sure if you are in the Atlanta area to always look at our Facebook feeds, our Twitter feeds, and anything of that nature. So that's what's happening for me for the remainder of the year. And again, my website is iamtashajones.com. The Twitter and everything is I Am Tasha Jones. I'm a very consistent person, so everything, you can find me everywhere just putting in I Am Tasha Jones. Matter of fact, y'all should hashtag that and make that trend.
Well, I got to say, and I think that Elio and CK probably feel the same way that I just felt a few minutes ago, but you said the showcase is a bunch of female poets, and it's called Adam's Rib.
It's called Adam's Rib, and I think, you know, I think that's a very smart, you know, when you look at things biblically, you know, how the woman came about, it was Adam's Rib.
I got to say, I was floating back toward the Twilight Zone, and you just brought me back with that. You just brought me back.
Adam's Rib. And I think so many,
wow.
And I think this is what's so great about it, is that so many times people feel like females can't work together. Not only can they not work together, but they don't know how to uplift and magnify and glorify one another. And I think it's something to be said about women who are not only great at what they do, but can show you and tell you and help you explore another person who is great. I think that says something about their character. And so, and I did forget somebody. I forgot Dana Gilmore. So it's Dana Gilmore, Scorpio Blues, Ruckus, Sunny Patterson, Queen Sheba, Israelite, Teresa the Songbird, Emerald Green, Tasha Jones, and Georgia Me. 10 great poets.
Wow.
But yeah, so there it is, Adam's Rib,
that
collective.
Sounds amazing. That sounds amazing, and everybody that's listening right now, definitely make sure you guys go out and check out the showcase.
Definitely.
Well, Tasha, I just want to say, once again, you're a family member now on the D-Hour Radio Network, and I'll definitely be in contact with you guys to let you know about our huge poetry show, but when we're going to be airing on that, but definitely... We will definitely keep supporting you, everything that you do. Thank you so much for blessing us with your...
Thank you for having me.
And you have a blessed night. And, man, please, please keep writing because you're absolutely phenomenal.
Well, praise God. Thank you so very much. And y'all have a wonderful night. Thank y'all for allowing me to speak my piece. And I appreciate y'all.
Absolutely.
Thank
you. Have a blessed night.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I just said, you have a blessed night, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. You do the same. Peace and blessings.
Okay. It's the D. That was the D Poetry Spot. Our special guest, Tasha Jones. Man, absolutely phenomenal. Make sure you guys check her out. IamTashaJones.com. Check her out on Facebook and Twitter as well. Brothers, was it phenomenal?
I was a little bit more than phenomenal. I'm just hoping. I know all our listeners was taking off their shades and opening their eyes to the reality of things, just in the sense of all this tragedy going on and how we view things, and that simile that she made, that metaphor that she placed in about how we view animals and how we view humans. That's serious.
Was it powerful, man?
It was powerful, and then even in the sense of, you know, you being locked in to a relation and things like that. It's just basically finding yourself and finding your way out, or just finding your own path. You got to know oneself, period.
CK?
She moved me. I was like, and like you, I was. There's still certain parts of her first poem that is like we wanted to come back on it, but she kept coming back to back. And I'm like,
and you know me, bro. You know normally I'll pull out a piece of the poem and say, man, this was my part right there. She just kept hitting me with it. I was like, damn, maybe I need to write down some of the favorite parts because she kept hitting me with so many of them, I couldn't even remember all of them.
I was trying to remember the one part that she said, like, I think she said, like, if I recall right, she said she was like a demon in the kitchen. I'm like, damn. Mm. And what she said before, I'm like, damn, that's the kind of woman I want. You know?
But you know what, though, bros? That one piece she hit us with, when she hit us with the similes and the words all related to fish and water, she talked about sharks in school. Man, I was like, did she just hit us with that?
Yeah.
I was like,
did a research.
Man, hey, look, I'm always perplexed, man, when we have a phenomenal poet on the show, when they just rock us like that. But when we, ladies and gentlemen, trust me, when we bring y'all this huge poetry showcase next year, I guarantee it's going down. It's going down. You guys are going to get some serious inspiration that you ain't never got before, and it's definitely going to be going down, and we'll definitely get you guys that information real soon about when that's going to be going down for the huge Tuesday Spot Show poetry showcase. But right now, we're going to take a quick music break. Oh, please. We ain't done, because when we come back, the brothers is doing it. Real Men Talking is going to be talking when we come back. So if you got some questions, some relationship questions you would like us to discuss and talk about for Real Men Talking, you could take this opportunity to log into to get onto the show right now, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Hour Show. Log into the chat room, and you can put your question in there. If CK and Leo, they may also be on Facebook right now. If you want to give them some questions that you'd like us to discuss for Real Men Talking, definitely hit them up with the question. You know, any of the fans, any of my peeps that might be listening right now, if there's a question you would like me to discuss on Real Men Talking, you can definitely text it to me, and we'll definitely get it in. And Real Men Talking, we'll be talking when we come back. D Slate, L-E-O, C-K, it's the Tuesday Spot. We're going to rock y'all world some more. I got some music for you guys, some hits. It's my man Music Soul Child with his new hit single, Yes. And we got some of my man up-and-coming phenomenal indie artist John Michael with Sophisticated. It's the Tuesday Spot. Man, don't go nowhere.
Let me get this out the way, so there ain't no complications later on for us. No, but I know things don't stay the same. People grow and seasons change, but when it comes to love, don't you feel like you ever gotta worry about my feelings changing for you over time? 'Cause when I against us, you won't have to question. The answer is yes. When two or three years from now, you start having some doubt about if this love will last. The answer is yes. I'll still think you're beautiful, 'cause I'm more attracted to what's inside of you. You don't have to guess. The answer is yes. 'Cause
I love you.
All I care about is your happiness.
Yes.
Well, the answer is yes. People just don't stick around.
No.
Build you up and let you down. But I'm not one of those.
No.
Now,
no.
I understand that or against us. You won't have to question.
The answer is yes.
When two or three is from now, you start having some doubt about if this love will last.
The answer is yes.
Of you, you don't have to guess.
Yeah,
the answer is yeah. With you, ask will I go?
No.
When you need me most,
no.
The answer is no. I'm dedicated to what we have, but will I be here the way that I promised? About if this love will last, the answer is yes. And I'll still think you're beautiful, 'cause I'm more attracted to what's inside of you. You don't have to guess.
The answer is yes.
When two or three years from now, you start having some doubts about if this love will last,
the answer is yes.
Yes.
What's up, cool world? My name is Serenatus Penn, and I welcome you to my blog review sessions, where I interview artistic, ambitious individuals just like you and me who want the world to know about their skills and talents. Check out my site, The Real Profiles of Rising Artistic Icons, at www.famousbynature.blogspot.com for my latest cover features, videos, and photos of my guests, and how you can subscribe and join to be the first to know about my next artist on the rise. You never know, you may be my next spotlight guest. Be a part of our future creators at Serenatus Penn Blog Review, where the talent starts and finishes with you.
Yeah, yeah, welcome back. Welcome back. It's the D Hour Show's D Tuesday spot. Getting it in tonight, playing the hits. You just got to listen to my man John Michael with Sophisticated before that, with Music Soul Child's hit single. And that hit single is a dedication and definitely him talking about the effects of breast cancer and us supporting breast cancer with his hit single, Yes. Right here on the Tuesday spot, D-Slate, L-E-O-C-K, getting it in. The brothers are in the building, ladies and gentlemen, right now. It is time for Real Men Talking. Real Men Talking is going down right now, ladies and gentlemen. If you have some questions, you would like us, relationship questions, you would like us to discuss on Real Men Talking right now, is your time to definitely submit them. If you're listening to the show right now, go to the chat room right below, and you can definitely pose your questions in there as well and let us know what you'd like us to ask. But it's time to get it in, ladies and gentlemen. Real Men Talking. Brothers, any one of you brothers want to start us off tonight?
I guess I can start it off. One question. I would like to go anonymously. The question was, why is it so hard for a man to open up? Now, that can mean, you know, various things, just with secrets, with the way they feel, just in general. Why is it so hard for a man to open up?
Wow. Why is it so hard for a man to open up? You know what? I think I'm going to take a stab at it first. I think it really depends on the situation. I think it really depends on, you know, who he's talking to, who he's opening up to. I think that for some reason, when a man is talking to his friends, when he's talking to his boys, when he's talking to his friends, I don't know what it is. I think it's all about the camaraderie and the nonchalantness, if that's a word. I think I got that word out of the Jesse Jackson dictionary. But I think that you know what it is that when brothers, man, when we're sitting down and we're talking with each other and we're hanging with each other and we're discussing things, it's so easy for us to just discuss anything with each other. Because I think what it is with men, we don't judge each other. You know, we don't get jealous like that with each other. We don't judge each other. We don't nag each other. All these crazy emotions don't come out when we're talking amongst each other. And I think that's why it's so easy for men to open up to their boys and to their friends and different things like that. Now, if we're talking about a man opening up to his parents, I think that depends on how close he is with his parents, as well as his kids or anything like that. Now, if he's opening up to his woman or to his wife or significant other, well, I guess even in that aspect, it also depends on it mostly depends on the closeness that he has with his wife. How close are they? Is she one of those type of individuals that he can tell anything to or say anything to? And I know that's what women want. Women always want a man who could talk to them about anything, that could say anything to them. And when they're having conversations, so I think in that aspect, definitely, ladies, if you're listening right now,
I think, as you know, white, you know, as far as it being hard for men to open up, I don't think it's hard for us to open up. I just think that it just, you know, when it's our friends or if our boys, that's not hard at all. And that's only because when we're talking amongst each other, it's not a lot of emotions coming out. But when you're dealing with your kids, you're dealing with your parents, your significant other, a lot of emotion tends to get involved in those conversations. And I think that sometimes, not for all men, but for some men, makes it hard for them to talk about certain things or open up about certain things. That's just my spin on it.
Wow, yeah, that was a great stab at it, actually. And that really kind of sums it up for myself to insinuate on that. Yeah, it's more so of an interpersonal type of feel, like when you said when it comes to the boys, it's no pressure, you're not necessarily being judged. You could be humiliated, you could be clowned by your boys, but it's your boys, it's whatever, it goes nowhere. Once it gets to your boys, you know, rather what they take from it or do with it, it doesn't really matter, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's your boys. But, you know, when you're dealing with a relationship per se, you know, you got to deal with the repercussions. Whatever they may be, whether it be positive, negative, you gotta worry about not necessarily criticism, but, you know, a man doesn't necessarily want to be humiliated or feel any type of way about how they receive their message. When you're talking to your boys, it's just a straight delivery. Bam, you got it. Talking to your wife, your spouse, it's like, well, why you do this? Well, why is that? And then now you got to explain. And once you explain, now you're digging into those feelings. And as a man, we're really not raised to be that in depth and in touch with our feelings like the way women are. Because women are, you know, brought up to be that touchy feely character. We're built to be that strong person. And when it comes to family and things like that, now I could even think back, like me and my relationship with my pop never was really, you know, too strong. But when I have to come and open up to him, I have to, you know, come to him for something, it's extremely hard. And I find myself breaking down. That's probably the hardest person I find myself opening up to. But it varies. That's it's real. Just, like you said, the closeness.
That's real. CK, what you think, bro?
Well, I personally agree with both of you. Man, like, we talk, it's, you know, like you said, it's no pressure. There's never been no pressure. I think if we can come open up at an appropriate time, because sometimes women ask us questions and it'd be so off caught off guard, and you'd be like, I don't want to talk about this, especially not now. But I think if you got like down to like really between me and her. And, like, she's like, I'm for real, I'm serious, let's just talk, you know. And then, you know, I probably wouldn't have no problem. I never have no problem opening up myself personally. But I know that sometimes men, you know, I mean, how I always say, women are emotional, men are physical. Women look into things a lot more than what a man would. You know, I mean, guys, to give a prime example, we could say, she could say, take out the trash. And we'd be like, okay, we get it, you know. She's going to have a fit. She's going to raise a storm. And especially if she has to take it out herself after waiting for so long. And you like, I was going to get it when I get up. I mean, what's the big rush, you know? So they may feel like, well, it's more than that. I asked you right then and there, and you know, and they looked into it, so, and you're like, whatever, you know. But as far as opening up about, like, a touchy subject, I guess it's a way of how it goes about. I would say if we was an open discussion, like, men and women in general would probably could open up and be surprised. But as far as asking us directly, you know, it's kind of hard. We don't really want to say how we feel. And that's just bluntly my opinion on that, you know.
Or necessarily explain how we feel.
Right, sure. Right.
Hey, I gotta say, a very special person I know, stated to me that it's not hard for men to open up to women. It's hard for women to stop talking and listen to that man.
That can be it. Wow.
Hey, look, you know what, though, fellas? Before I hit y'all, I'm not going to drag my question on, because I definitely want y'all to hear this tribute that I have put down tonight. But I think that, just to end that off, I just want to say that it's just easier. You know, like, you know, a dude could be talking to his boys, you know what I'm saying, and he passed gas, and he could just be like, "Oh man, hey man, I just," and your boy could be like, "Damn man, you stank, dude, you stank," and you could be like, "Hey man, I think I just shitted a little bit in my drawers," and your boy will just be like, "Oh man, what, you nasty dude, oh you nasty," and just leave it alone. But then you tell your lady that you with your lady, and y'all laughing, you pass gas, and she be like, "Oh you nasty," you be like, "Baby, I think I just shitted a little bit in my drawers," she could be like, "What? You nasty mother," and she looking all crazy like, "Damn, this dude didn't just shoot his dogs." Now, that just won't stop there, because with your boys, it's over. But then you could be laying up in the bed with your woman, she's still thinking about it, and every little slight move or flush, or any wind that fluctuates, she thinking like, "Did you just shit on yourself again?" And you're like, "No, that was earlier. Damn, you just think I just shit on myself all the time?" So it's like, it don't stop. It just goes, she's going to keep thinking about it, and she's going to keep thinking like, "This dude don't know how to hold his bowels," you know. So I think that it's just easier. There's no emotional attachment when men are talking to certain individuals, like other men and different things like that, and their friends or whatever the case may be. So I think that's it. And I think it all boils down to that whole emotional attachment to the conversation that makes it easier for a man to open up. I'm going to go with my question real quick. I think what mine is, and it's simple, you know, is that what are men really looking for in a woman when they want to be with a woman? What are they really looking for?
What are we really looking for when we look for a woman? You want to take a stab at it first? Because I go ahead, CK. Yeah, take a stab at it first.
Repeat the question one more time so I make sure I answer this the way I really want to say, because I'm in this phase right now in my life. Dick, can you repeat it one more time?
The question was, what do men really look for in a woman when they want to be with a woman? They want to be in a relationship with a woman. What are they really looking for?
Well, right now in my life, I have been doing whatever the hell I want to do, and now I really want a relationship. So I look for quality versus I like quantity, but I'm looking for quality. I need a woman that's caring, understanding, drama-free. That is the biggest issue I have. I have met women in my life that are just, like, so drama-filled. And then on top of it, then I've come across the women who are in other situations, and they try to look outside. First and foremost, I'm gonna be blunt. I'm just going to put it out here on the air. I do not want to be nobody's side dish. I want to be a main course. I do not just only want to be physically turned on and mentally turned off. I want to be physically turned on and mentally turned off. On and stimulated.
You said you ain't no hors d'oeuvre. You ain't no rich cracker with a slice of salami and cheese on it. You damn sure ain't no hors d'oeuvre.
That's right. I mean, it's more to, you know, it's like, I want someone who's going to be supportive of me no matter what, who's going to be standing, who got my back, who knows that through it all, we still stand tall. We still stand together. You know, a lot of times, you know, you got women, you got some women out here that put on that face, that role, say, hey, I like you, I support you, and then once they get you, like, I don't think you really need to be doing this in your life. I think you need to be doing something else or something better, and don't really want to put any effort or passing books along, you know, different things they don't want to deal with, you know, because that's not what they wanted you to become. So for me, I need a woman of my own, someone who's understanding, loving, real, who's real with herself, someone who in the lady industries and the freak in the freak between the sheets. I mean, I need that. I need all that combined in one woman, which as I have picked out pieces and pieces of different women in different women, but right now I want my own, and I want to be happy, and if you want to make me happy, be drama free, be understanding, be supportive, and you know, you loving, real, be real with me, and I will give you that back.
That's real talk. Uh-huh. That's real talk.
For me, I'm have to say, I think it has a lot to do with a sense of security. You know, knowing that individual is going to be there. You know, everybody looks for that support, and then you can even, you know, you take it back to Shakespeare with the Oedipus complex, not necessarily going after your mother, but someone like your mother. You know, you want a woman to take care of you. You know, make sure you eat. Make sure you're good. Like you're out working. When you come home, you expect a certain feel of release. you should be relieved when you come home. So I personally look for that. Someone wholesome. Not necessarily. You don't have to be sweet all the time, because sweet all the time isn't always great. You know, best of both worlds. Nothing's going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. No personality is going to be perfect. You're going to have some flaws, but you know, hopefully, I'll be willing to accept those. But it's the sense of security. Me knowing that you're going to be there. Me knowing that your mind is focused on me, and that's it. You know, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
You know what? I'm going to keep it simple, fellas, and cause I definitely want to hit y'all with this tribute. I think we might only be able to get to do one of the songs tonight, and then I'll save the other one for Thursday. But, well, maybe tomorrow, and then I got another one for Thursday. But I just want to say, I think for me, it's not rocket science. You know, I want somebody that's funny. Somebody that has a sense of humor, somebody that has some goals, and you know, has a career, not depending on you know, because she's so goal oriented and business minded, she's not even thinking about you know, what she can get from me, because she already got it. You know, she's thinking about, you know, because what she wants from me is love and a relationship. You know what I'm saying? And I think that, you know, for me, I just want somebody that's understanding, somebody that's supportive, and somebody that's going to be understanding and supportive enough to be my best friend as well. Because you know, I would like to have that woman who I could talk to about anything and say anything to, like I do with my friends or I do with my boys. I think that's a perfect topper, you know, to a relationship, to be able to talk to your woman about anything and everything, and you ain't never got to worry about nothing. She gonna give you the same. She gonna give you the same understanding and philosophy that your friends give you, and I think that's just gonna make you. And I think that's just going to make me and that woman closer in that relationship. So, I mean, I know women are definitely a little bit more emotional than men. But I think to any aspect, you know, it just boils down to having some understanding and just being supportive. And just know I'm goal-oriented myself, and I'm very business-minded myself. So Trust me, I'm not no slacker, ain't lazy. I'm definitely gonna bring the business and definitely bring it in the relationship. So, you know, I just ask him, and plus I'm a very affectionate person, so I expect the same thing. You know, so you know, don't be all shocked and like, and you know, and you know, acting like you know, you don't know where I'm coming from, you know, because I like to let them know up front, you know, this is the way I am, you know, this is how it goes down, so that way there's no surprises, and, you know, there's no, you know, no one saying, well, man, I didn't know he was like this. No, I told you in the beginning I was like this,
mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I just, you know, and it's, like I said, it's nothing hard, it's real simple, you know, it's not rocket science, so, you know, I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to. You know, for me. But again, ladies and gentlemen, you know, real men talking, you know, that's how it goes down. We like to talk about, we didn't get a chance to really go longer like we wanted to because we had a really phenomenal poet on with us tonight, and she was really dropping some knowledge on us tonight. But, you know, every Tuesday, CK, myself, LEO, we get it in like this all the time. And, you know, we unfortunately the brothers won't be able to stump B Slate tonight, but we're definitely going to get, you know, get that opportunity again. Now we're not going to be on next Tuesday because it's the holidays, of course, but the following Tuesday after that. Now we may be on, it's New Year's, it's not as big as Christmas unless we some luscious and some alcoholics and we're going to be out there getting our drink on. But
all right, Leo.
You know, but other than that, it's you know, I don't mind you know, getting it in on New Year's because it's a brand new year, so I definitely don't mind putting it on a show for you guys for New Year's. But
right.
So we'll be getting it on again for New Year's for you guys, and bringing in the new year, and you know, just talking about some of the new things we're gonna be doing for the new year. And tonight, I definitely want to put on a tribute. And we're just going to end off the show with the tribute song. So I'm just going to – we're going to do our closing comments right now. And make sure you guys tune into the D-Hour Show Radio Network tomorrow for Nausea Head Wednesday. Oh, it's going down. Hip-hop heads, real hip-hop fans, oh, D-Slate, RC, LEO, we're going to be getting it in with hip-hop star Talib Kweli is going to be in the building with us tomorrow. Man, you don't want to miss it. And as well as Celebrity Thursday this Thursday, myself, CK, and Miss Fabulous will be talking to old school R&B group To The Extreme, which has Johnny Gill's brother, Randy Gill, Johnny Gill's brother, is in the group. So we'll be talking with him about his, you know, his up and coming endeavors as well. And we also may have a special guest in the building, another special celebrity guest in the building with us, so make sure you tune in. Keep tuning in every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday for the D-Hour Radio Network. You never know who's going to be on. Fellas, real quick, any closing comments?
Just keep your head up. Live every day optimistically. It's your boy, LEO. Keep staying tuned. Cold Heart Late Nights will be released in the spring. It's in the works, so just stay posted to the Facebook, Optimistic Music. And that's me, and I'm out of here.
No doubt. It's CK.
Please celebrate life as much as possible, because tomorrow's not promised. And for any of those who are interested in getting my books, you can find me on Amazon.com. Type in Kaiserific. That is KaiserIfic. I had to let that go for my not so English major, so you know. But I'm available. One of my popular books is Dirty Little Sex Secrets, and it goes down in a loop. We got down. Some of them brothers got down and talked about some heavy stuff with some of the women they've been with. So that is my most popular book right now. It is available. $15 on Amazon. So, and since we're gonna be on next week, have a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely, absolutely, and ladies and gentlemen, our tribute to all the families that suffered tragedies for the last couple of years. This is Tanya Blunt and Lauryn Hill with "His Eye Is on the Sparrow." If you want to listen to the rest of the song, Definitely tune in to the show, the archive show. Here it is.
And I know